continuing our consideration of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and now gentleness. We read the first 35 verses of Psalm 18. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me, went before me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. And he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward, for thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness, for by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. I call your attention this evening, first of all, to Psalm 18, verse 35. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. And then we turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness. And as I will explain, the word there is the word for gentleness that we find in Galatians 5, verse 22. Humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, today we come to the fifth virtue listed as a manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit born by every Christian who walks in the Spirit. Gentleness. That term gentleness is found only four times in our English Bible, twice in the Old Testament and twice in the New. And the word translated gentleness in the Old Testament is used in two texts that are the same song. They are one of the songs of Zion, recorded not only here in Psalm 18, verse 35, but as David sang it in 2 Samuel 22, as he reflected at the end of his life upon the faithfulness of God and the deliverance that David often experienced from enemies mightier than he. We consider that attribute of gentleness not only from the perspective of its expression in our lives, but the source of that virtue, as seen in the amazing dealings of God with us, his people. Several of you in the past few years have heard me read from Psalm 18, verses 30 through 35, as I have had the privilege of ministering to you pastorally in a number of various trials. I find this text profoundly beautiful, especially the way it stands out against the context. Psalm 18 is one of the war psalms of David. As I mentioned, it reflects upon the many times in David's life that God preserved him and delivered him from his enemies, fierce enemies. It describes the salvation that David experienced in terms of God executing judgment upon his enemies. David sang, for example, in verses 16 and 17, he sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. But he describes that deliverance, referring to many different occasions too, in very graphic terms of warfare and battle. And the whole psalm is that way. It's the last place in the Bible that you might expect to find the word gentleness. But there we find it in verse 35. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. God is gentle with us, with you. In the most difficult trials and under the most difficult circumstances, in the great spiritual battles that you face, you are made great by God's gentleness. And as we now consider that virtue as one of the manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit, we are given to see that that gentleness of God, He has revealed and continues to reveal to us as a virtue that He gives us to bear as His people in Christ. We often think of gentleness as belonging to a woman, a mother. But we have to see that gentleness characterizes a Christian. It's a fruit of the Spirit that comes to expression in male and female, adults and children, who are partakers of the life of Christ. The Christian is clothed with gentleness. That's the theme that we consider from the combination of Psalm 18, verse 35, and Colossians 3, verse 12, clothed with gentleness. We notice, first of all, what it is, secondly, where it comes from, and finally, to whom it is exercised. What is gentleness? Gentleness is a virtue of God Himself, evident from Psalm 18, verse 35. But when we seek to define that term, it isn't so easy as it might seem. I mentioned the term is used only four times in our English translation of the Bible, but in all four occasions where the term gentleness is found, the original language has a different term. And that's true even in the two passages in the Old Testament which give expression to the same Song of David. Different Hebrew terms are used which are translated in our English language as gentleness. In addition, you may have noticed that in my selection of Colossians 3, verse 12, the text does not contain, as I mentioned earlier, the word gentleness in our English translation. But the term kindness is the very same Greek word translated gentleness in our theme passage, Galatians 5, verse 22, unfolding the fruit of the Spirit. So we have to take into account these different terms that are used in the Hebrew and Greek language to try to form a well-rounded idea of this concept, gentleness. It's possible that the term be translated in a number of different ways. It speaks of goodness. Might be translated goodness, so that we might translate Psalm 18, verse 35, "Thy goodness hath made me great." In which case, we would note that our greatness is not found in our goodness, but in God. He's amazingly benevolent to us, upholding us by giving us everything necessary in the particular trials we face. That term gentleness might be translated kindness. And that would be goodness coming to expression. Boys and girls, when you are kind one to another, that means that you care one for another, don't you? You seek to be helpful to each other, to reach out in such a way that you are helpful. That then is an expression of love, too. God has given us the calling to love one another. That comes to expression in kindness or gentleness. Gentleness, which is the term Galatians 5, verse 22 uses as one of the manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit, might also be translated uprightness, or doing what is right. That speaks of the particular way in which gentleness comes to expression. There are forms of gentleness which are counterfeits, that take on an appearance of kindness, which in fact are destructive and bring separation. Proverbs 27, verse 6 reminds us of that explicitly when it says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Kisses would be thought of as an expression of gentleness, wouldn't they? But when they depart from doing right, or affirm one in departing from God's express will set forth in Scripture, they are deceitful, a counterfeit to gentleness. The fruit of the Spirit, which is gentleness, is guided by doing what is right. And boys and girls, how do we know if we are doing right? God's word has to guide us, doesn't it? God alone tells us what is right. Gentleness, therefore, must be exercised within those parameters, not what we feel is right or what we want to be right because it's the way we want it. Sometimes a true friend will have to wound us in gentleness, but telling us what we don't want to hear because it is right. A friend will hold us to doing what is right. That is for our spiritual good. That's true gentleness. It's interesting that another way to translate this term gentleness in the Old Testament is with the word humility. In fact, if you have a study Bible, you might even find in the margin of Psalm 18, verse 35, "With thy humility," or "with thy meekness, thou hast made me great." How does that fit with gentleness? Well, if you think about it, I think you can see that humility really lies at the basis of gentleness. It's the foundation of that which is expressed as gentleness. God making himself great, making himself little, rather, is the cause for our being made great. You and I are so small and insignificant, as creatures of dust and sinful besides, that if God should manifest his greatness to us without condescending to us, we would be crushed in a moment by the greatness of his holiness. You should always remember God's revelation to John, the Apostle John, in God's appearance to him on the island of Patmos. We read in Revelation 1, verse 17, John saying, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." And then we read this, "And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not." God condescends to us, aware of our needs, knowing how weak we are, to lay his hand upon us and to lift us up in gentleness. And he does that, as you know, through Jesus Christ, whom he sent to humble himself in such a way that he would lay down his life for us and express God's gentleness in drawing us to himself. And in drawing us to himself, We also read in Ephesians 2, verses 6 and 7, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. That gentleness, that kindness, God reveals upon us and bestows upon us now into eternity. Such is the virtue of God himself that we will be partakers of that gentleness forever. You and I, as redeemed by Christ and partakers of his life, are clothed with gentleness as a fruit of the Spirit. This is a distinctly Christian attribute, a beautiful reflection of the gentleness or kindness of God himself. And that's evident from Romans 3, verse 12, where Paul described fallen man apart from Christ, and he writes, "There is none that doeth good, no, not one." That's our authorized version, as you recognize, where Paul quotes from Psalm 14, verse 3. But in the Greek, the term used is the same term translated kindness in Colossians 3, verse 12, and gentleness in Galatians 5, verse 22. There is none that practices kindness, no, not one. It's quite a statement, isn't it? That's God's judgment. That's God's evaluation of the whole human race. But to return to the figurative language of our text, that indicates that this kindness is a fruit produced only in those who are in Christ Jesus, a fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness doesn't belong to our nature, not even to the nature of a mother, not when we define gentleness in the way that Scripture defines it. Our nature, our old man, is full of harshness. That's true, even though there are some who are better able than others to control that harshness. There is a tendency to look for the worst in others, to speak evil of others, to exalt ourselves above those around us, even if only in our own minds. That's the hatred of the human heart, of your heart and mine, to use the language of the apostle in Colossians 3, verses 8 and 9. If you know yourself in Christ, you know that's true too. That old man gives you much grief. And as the Spirit works in you by the Word, calls you also to the sorrow of repentance. Colossians 3, verse 12 calls us to put on kindness. That is to clothe yourself with a grace that pervades and penetrates your whole nature so that your disposition toward as well as your treatment of others is charitable, expressive of the love that God has displayed toward you in Christ Jesus. You readily understand how important it is that we bear this fruit of the Spirit. To see in the midst of God's church those who lack kindness, to see in myself any lack of kindness, is to see the ugliness of Satan himself on display. And God knows how often this kindness among us is lacking. He calls us to repentance. which repentance includes a turning from the sin and a putting on of gentleness, kindness. It's his kindness, after all, which leads us to repentance, we are told in Romans 2, verse 4. But that gentleness comes to expression as a fruit of the Spirit. It comes to expression in such a way that we are useful to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Not harmful, useful. In gentleness, we reach out to build up each other, to strengthen one another spiritually. This virtue comes to expression and strengthens Christian fellowship, the expression of the covenant life that is ours as members of the family of God, the body of Christ. Do we handle the souls of others with a great care? Mindful not just of them, but of their place in the body. Gentleness comes to expression in practical exercises of kindness. It will reach out to one who's hurting. Sometimes those who are hurting don't want the care of biblical counsel and wise instruction and comfort from the Scripture. Sometimes they look for those who will only affirm what they desire, even if contrary to the Scripture and damaging to their souls. But most often, those who are hurting will readily receive the kindness of those who express their love by pointing to God's way and bringing the comfort of God's word, as well as demonstrating their love in concrete ways to keep one within the parameters of God's will. It can be in as simple a way as bringing a meal and sitting and visiting for a while. It can come to expression, men, in meeting each other for breakfast or lunch or coffee. Gentleness recognizes the weaknesses and vulnerabilities to error and to sin in those who are struggling and seeks to strengthen them and keep them in the right pathway. Gentleness remembers that life, also Christian life, is fragile. And soul care requires great care. We have to be careful not to crush the needy, just as careful not to lead them in a wrong way. Gentleness will guide us in our care of our children. As we bear the fruit of the Spirit in gentleness, we recognize that we are but servants of God in the care of His lambs. And therefore, we give careful instruction and consistent discipline, guiding the hearts and minds of our children, not crushing them under the sharp words of criticism, nor burdening them with the endless rules that neglect the place of the gospel and the reason for living in thankfulness to the God of our salvation. The goal of our gentleness is their spiritual nurture and growth in the joy of the gospel knowledge of belonging to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. The gentleness which is the fruit of the Spirit comes to expression in you children, being kind one to another. You children must realize that God has created each one of us different from the other. and gentleness and kindness does not say, I'm better than so and so. It says, I'm different because God made us different. Those differences are placed by God as circumstances in which we are to be kind one to another. Some might not be able to learn as quickly as you. That doesn't mean you're better, does it? Some might be kind of hard to like, but you must still show kindness to them. Some might need a lot of help. Gentleness means that you are quickly ready to help them. Gentleness in marriage is the opposite of all hostility and harshness. Again, remember the different aspects of this concept. Gentleness, kindness, humility, doing what is right. God tells us what is right. God calls us to exercise humility in all our relationships. God shows us gentleness, kindness. This fruit of the Spirit is never cruel, is never motivated by a desire to seek self at the expense of the other or to retaliate a wrong. It doesn't poke fun of in a hurtful way. Gentleness expresses itself in kindness, truly seeking each other's spiritual and physical welfare. This is a blessed fruit of the Spirit Himself, a fruit of love against which there is no law. May God grant that we bear this fruit. Clothed with gentleness. Let's be reminded where it comes from. The Holy Spirit makes us partakers of the life of Christ by faith. Once again, if you think that you can enjoy the fruit of the Spirit apart from union with Christ, you deceive yourself, and your life will prove your error. We don't clothe ourselves with gentleness. The Spirit Himself clothes us by our union with Christ and by making us partakers of Christ's life by faith. He works that in us by faith, faith by which we lay hold of Christ and all His benefits. Again, we have to recognize that by nature, every one of us is cruel and harsh. We only differ by degree. And that cruelty is seen in the very natures of our children, which natures they receive from us, their parents. That cruelty comes to expression, too, especially in our speech, in very destructive ways. Only in Christ is found this gentleness, which is a fruit of the Spirit. And what a beautiful virtue when seen in Him and experienced by our faith union with Him. Many of you have faced deep affliction, as did David, reflected in Psalm 18. But you have also experienced the hand of your Savior holding you up and His gentleness making you great. God's dealings with us are always with the greatest of care. His tender mercies new every morning. He never forgets our human frailties. always treats us with loving kindness. Isaiah, in prophesying of the coming of Jehovah's servant, the one who would bring salvation to his people, including the Gentiles, spoke the promise of God in Isaiah 42, verse 3, when he said, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth." By faith, we draw from Christ this fruit of gentleness. People of God, do you remember an occasion when your heart was broken by the sense of your sin against God? Have you known the anguish of a broken heart, having experienced separation from God because of your sin? What did Jesus do? Did he not lead you to the sorrow of repentance and hold before you the wonder of forgiveness? Did he not take you by the hand, as it were, and lead you to the cross, where he showed you his merciful kindness, the humility in which he condescended to embrace you? Yes, there are times when he has seen it fit to chasten us and to rebuke us. But don't we have to confess that even his chastisements and rebukes express his kindness towards us and his gentleness? He's always seeking our salvation, our spiritual welfare, our true comfort and joy. He's always leading us to his word, his wise counsel. He's always assuring us of his promise and showing his care for us. In fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah 40, verse 11, he gathers the lambs in his arms and gently leads those that are with young. There are a multitude of examples in Scripture revealing Jesus during his earthly sojourn, dealing with his people in various circumstances, addressing various trials, confronting various sins, facing sorrows and affliction, always revealing himself to his people with gentleness. Let's notice then finally to whom this gentleness is exercised. Christ reveals his gentleness not only to those who are troubled, but who are undeserving. In the context of both Galatians 5, verse 22 and Colossians 3, verse 12, the instruction given concerns our relationships within the body of Christ. This fruit of the Spirit is borne by those whose lives are in Christ Jesus and comes to expression, especially in our relationships one to another. That's not to say that kindness or gentleness should not also generally characterize our attitudes and behavior toward the neighbor with whom we have contact over the fence or in the workplace. But the focus of the application of these spiritual virtues comes to expression in the most prevalent relationships of our lives. And the relationships, therefore, that also often try our flesh, our impatience, even our inclination to retaliate and to respond in a God-dishonoring way. To be clothed with gentleness is a particular expression of the antithesis that Christ works by his Spirit in our lives, the antithesis of sin and grace. It is to show that we are no longer ruled by our sinful natures, but by Christ's life in us, which life comes to expression by faith as the fruit of the Spirit against which there is no law. When the psalmist in Psalm 18, verse 35, speaks of God's gentleness making us great, the implication there is that he has lifted us up out of the depths to exalt us as members of his own royal family, adopted in Christ. We who show nothing deserving of such kindness, barbarians with despicable manners and sins deeply provoking to God, have been dealt with him by him in gentleness, transfused with the blood of his own dear son, so that we're no longer barbarians, but we are royalty in Christ Jesus, who by his Spirit bear the fruit of having ourselves receive such gentle and kind care from our Heavenly Father. So in bearing this fruit of the Spirit, we too are called to exercise gentleness even to our brothers and sisters in Christ who might make it difficult for us to bestow such gentleness upon them. If we are looking to bestow kindness only upon those who show themselves worthy, we will never bear that fruit, because we have never tasted it ourselves. At the same time, let's remember, as we saw with the fruit of long suffering, the various manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit are holy attributes. Also, with the exercise of gentleness and our calling to be clothed with kindness, as we read in Colossians 3, verse 12, we mustn't think of gentleness as merely overlooking or putting up with sin. True kindness, the gentleness that seeks the salvation of our brothers and sisters, is not that which avoids confronting sin. It does so in humility, but it confronts sin. Again, how has Christ dealt with us? He didn't forsake us, nor did he reward us according to our iniquities, as we sing in Psalm 130, but he mercifully leads us to repentance. So true kindness to each other, that gentleness which is holy and righteous, calls to repentance and leads to the cross where there is forgiveness. To those who confess their sins, gentleness is administered in forgiving as Christ has forgiven us. And where there is impenitence, kindness continues to address that sin in the way marked out by God, bringing the matter to the elders of the church, that they in kindness might seek to restore the one who has gone astray and see that reconciliation marks us who are redeemed by Christ. So we are reminded again that true gentleness is governed by the Word of God and follows carefully the way of wisdom that God has marked out in his word for the salvation of those who are his. Their strife and schism stops, and healing and the enjoyment of peace begins. So we are clothed with gentleness, comforting, correcting, admonishing one another, instructing one another, caring one for another, all to the glory of him whose life is ours and whose gentleness has made us great. Thanks be to God for the enjoyment of the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, once again we plead that thou write thy word upon our hearts by thy Holy Spirit, drawing us to Christ by faith, that we lay hold of him and all his benefits, including these rich blessings given us by the Spirit of our Savior. And we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.